Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. The U.S. Census must be taken. It's required in the Constitution, and your participation is required as well. Still, that doesn't stop lots of people from avoiding the census and lots of people being overlooked by the census. I've never heard of anyone being arrested for not being counted, however. Folks are with us today to explain why you should participate, why it matters. We'd like to hear from listeners as well later on in the program. If you don't feel comfortable with the census, tell us why. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Of course, if you have any questions or comments, those numbers, that number and that email address works as well. But we'll get to that later in the program. First, Mario Matthews. He's Assistant Regional Census Manager. He's based in Detroit. He oversees 37 regional offices as part of his job, including Ohio. Welcome, Mario.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me this morning, and I really appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Ruben Castilla-Herrera, Community Development Specialist, community activist, and so forth, mainly in the Latino community. Ruben, thanks for being on the show.
Good to be here, Ann. Thank you.
And also Catherine Terser. She is co-chair of You Can Count on Me, Ohio.
Hello, and thank you.
Thanks for being here, Catherine. The first census in 1790 was taken by U.S. Marshals on horseback and counted 3.9 million people. The census in 2000 counted more than 281 million people. That was your first census that you worked on, isn't it, Mario?
No, I think I was still in grade school back then.
You really? Oh, okay. I thought you'd been with the program about 11 years, but I must have been reading about someone else. So, all right, Mario, how old are you since you brought it up?
Actually, this is the second census I've worked as an employee as a Census Bureau.
That's what I meant. I meant the 2000 census.
Yes.
Was your first. Okay, ha, ha, ha. Okay, we've got a joker on the line, folks. All right, why is the census required in the Constitution, Mario?
Well, basically, the census is very important for our leaders to know what the country needs. The census is basically, as you had mentioned in the intro, it's very important for us to know where we need job training centers, schools, senior centers, emergency services, all those different services that impact our different communities. And one of the reasons why it was instituted in the Constitution was because that's how congressional districts are aligned. Basically, your representation is based on the population within a certain area. And that's when the forefathers decided that, well, in order to do that, we need to base it on the population within an area. And as we've seen in the past few years, definitely in the past 10 years, there's been a shift in the country as the West has outgrown the East, and especially in the Midwest here, what we call the Rust Belt. And we've kind of lost some representation, especially in Ohio. I know we lost a representative last census, and we're pretty sure that we may lose. We're estimating that we may lose another representative here in Ohio. So we want people to get to be counted when they receive their form. We're trying to get people to be aware that, you know, this impacts their community and impacts their voice in government, and it's very important for them to be counted.
You know, I already have a couple emails from folks who I queried on the Facebook this morning wanting to know why more information than just the population is counted when it comes to the redistricting process. Is there more information used, or is it just limited to just population?
Actually, this census will be the shortest form questionnaire we've ever used in history. And one of the things that we're going to be advertising is 10 questions, 10 minutes. And matter of fact, the head of the household actually gets the 10 questions. Everyone else gets just 7 questions. There's no long-form questionnaire like we had in the past where people, I believe, depending on the area that they lived in, if they lived in an urban area, we had a ratio of 1-4 where every fourth household would get the long-form questionnaire, and it had about 60 questions. It did add some, you know, intrusive questions, but this time just 10 questions, basically, you know, name, age, race, just the base and the number of people in the household. So it's just basic questions. Shouldn't take a household more than 10 minutes to answer it.
I guess the benefit of that is you're thinking more people will answer it then.
Yes, we are expecting more participation this time. We're expecting a bigger response rate from the public, as, you know, we have this short form questionnaire.
What was the response rate the last time?
Actually, the response rate for the 2000 census was one of the high. It actually reversed the trend of a downward trend. And I believe we went up to 67% here in this region. And that's, and when I talk about our region, I'm looking at Michigan, Ohio, and West Virginia. It was about 67%. And at, before, it had been going down. And we actually had an increased response rate. And we would attribute a lot of that to our partnership staff getting out and meeting with different community groups and making them aware of the census and the importance of it.
Was that the case, the trend across the country or just in this region?
That was across the country. Actually, it reversed a trend across the country of our increased response rate.
Now, when you're going with this shorter form, you expect a higher response rate, but what is lost in the mix? You have less information.
Well, what they've done and what the Census Bureau has done, after the last census, we've instituted with what we call the American Community Survey. Mm-hmm. And that survey is it's conducted by the Census Bureau every month, and it's basically asking the long-form questionnaire questions. And that's done, it's been basically going ongoing since 2005.
Okay.
And basically our government leaders still get that same information on a yearly basis now. It's not every, 10 years. We get that information now every year.
So that's just a rolling census then?
Yes, it is. And if we ask about 60,000 households, it's in every zip code. The survey is conducted in every zip code in the country. Every county in the country. Mm-hmm. And, yes, we get that information on a yearly basis now.
What are the biggest obstacles to getting participation in the census? Are there regional obstacles, or is it pretty much the same thing across the country?
We have a lot of things in common. When I talk to other people across the country, there are people, we have a large, here in our area, we have a large immigrant population. I know down in Ohio, we talk about, especially in Franklin County, we know we have a large Somali population. Mm-hmm. Up here where I am, we have a large Middle Eastern population. So we have language barriers that we have to try to break through. We have people who come from other countries that are don't understand or who are afraid of government and don't know why they need to participate. Maybe they're running from something and they just don't, they have a fear of filling out any kind of form.
I'm sorry, go on.
We also, face the challenge of people who are just either anti-government or just think that it's an invasion in their privacy.
Is the concept of the census pretty universal at this point? In other words, do most other countries do this? Do you know?
I know that, and this is just on top of my head, I really know that Canada does do a census. I think they do it sooner than 10 years. I'm not sure about other countries. I know they have their own censuses, but I'm not familiar on what type of time frame they do it.
Catherine, you...
Yeah, I was going to say South American countries do, which is particularly important as we think about getting Hispanics interested and invested in completing their forms.
Mm-hmm. Does that help, Ruben? Does it matter that South American countries do it themselves and it helps, familiarize people here?
Right. I think that there's still kind of a misunderstanding of the census, what it is in this country. And even though we do have census counts in Latin America and actually most parts of the world, I understand, is that in the United States, it's very much unique. And I think that you mentioned the language was a situation. But I think that what I found when I've been out in the field is really just people not knowing what it is. Having and not knowing, and further than that, just having misinformation about what it is, and then followed very closely by the fear of participating. What will happen to me? What is that information? A lot of good questions. So I've spent a lot of time just answering questions about what it is and what it isn't.
If you're just joining us, this is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU. We're talking about the U.S. Census today. The kickoff is next week. There's a party, apparently. I don't know if you've been invited or not, but we'll give you some information about that later. On the phone is Mario Matthews from Detroit. He is the Assistant Regional Census Manager. And also in the studio, Ruben Castillo-Herrera. He's Community Development Specialist. I don't know why I can't say that. And also Catherine Turser. She's co-chair of You Can Count on Me, Ohio. which is a group in Ohio that's sort of coalescing a lot of different community groups, right, Catherine, to get involved in this process?
Yeah, basically, You Can Count on Me Ohio came out of Ohio Citizen Action and the Coalition for Homelessness and Housing said, okay, well, what can we do about the census? And, you know, what is the responsibility for nonprofits? What can we do to work together to get the message out about the importance of being counted? And so we've worked together to encourage nonprofits to get the word out. The whole idea that, when you ask that question about, you know, why do people not answer, you know, there's sheer procrastination. And then there are people that are living, you know, paycheck to paycheck and just have other things to think about. And just, you know, the people that are the hardest to count are the people that move a lot, that are transient, people that are really struggling. And, you know, it's like the last thing in their mind is, oh, I must fill this questionnaire. Oh, you know, what an imposition this is. So we really need to get the message out to people that are the hardest to count. And so social workers, people who are nonprofits, say you're going to the local library that's a nonprofit. These are ways that we can get the message out to all sorts of service providers.
Mario, when it comes to the homeless population or the very transient population, how do you count those in terms of where they live?
Well, that's what we try to work with a lot of the service-based organizations, because when you have a homeless population, a lot of times they tend to congregate in places where they can get a meal or they can get a shower or they can get clothing. We try to work with them to find out when is the best time. We've actually, in part of our field operations, we set aside a time where we're going to count the homeless or the transient population. And we work with them to find out, okay, well, when is the best time to count these people? When is the time where we should have our staff here? And we try to do we do this short form questionnaire with them to basically just get a basic count. A lot of times it's not perfect, I'll admit, because you can miss some people. There's not going to be a certain point in time where you can catch everyone, but it does give us the most accurate count we can get.
You know, I already have three different questions, a couple on email and one on the phone regarding the whole redistricting process. How much do people understand about that? It's the original reason. Now the census is used to, to determine where grants and federal monies go. But congressional districting was the original reason. And do people misunderstand that a lot about what the census actually has to do with the process of it, of the districting?
I believe so.
You just count them, right?
We just count them, but I believe that a lot of people miss the fact that, you know, this is your chance to have a voice in government. Filling out the census form, and this is my opinion, is almost like having a vote. It actually like gives you a voice in government. This is a chance for you to, make a difference as far as letting government know that you exist and we have people living here and we need some representation in this particular district. I've had people who have approached me and said, well, why are we counting? And this is one of the things that comes up about non-citizens. And the Census Bureau does count non-citizens because even though there may not be a citizen, they're using resources that are within that community or within that district, and that's still important information to be known.
We're going to have to take a quick break right now, and then we'll get back to all of this, the U.S. Census. If you have a question or comment, 614-292-8513, or you can email us, allsides@wosu.org. We welcome your questions or comments, and what do you think about the census? Do you avoid it, or do you welcome it? This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, an uncertain economic recovery, financial reform in limbo. Is the U.S. headed for a comeback or more trouble? We'll take stock with big thinking economist Simon Johnson. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
And On Point begins this afternoon at 1 o'clock right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. 21 degrees in downtown Columbus at 10:20. A winter weather advisory in effect until 6 o'clock Friday morning. Snow developing today, an accumulation of 2 to 4 inches this afternoon and a high of 25 degrees. More snow tonight, giving us a total snow accumulation of 3 to 6 inches for central Ohio, a low of 17. Cloudy with a slight chance of snow on Friday and a high of 25. All Sides continues on WOSU 820.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Let's talk a little bit more about the how resources are allocated and what that means to different groups. Ruben,
Let me just go build upon a little bit of what Mario said. Sure. I think he said that the non-citizens may be using resources, but I look at it a little bit differently. We're actually contributing, adding resources. And I think that's the reason that we have to go out there and tell people to be counted. If we're the fastest growing group, immigrants, in particular Latinos, but mm-hmm. also people of color. And it's not the Rust Belt in the sense of the age of the immigrants in the Midwest and also in Ohio. So what does that mean to in terms of redistricting and funds that are allocated? I tell people if we're not counted, then basically we don't exist. It's hard for us to substantiate a population. Now people ask me all the time, how many Latinos in Franklin County or in the state? It's difficult to answer that question because that growth has happened since the last census. And so we want to make sure that because we're contributing already to society, immigrants, more than just reusing resources, we're contributing. And we need to be counted for all of those reasons. And also there's children of immigrants that are born here as well. And so this is really – people really feel this is their country as well.
Is language the biggest barrier?
For immigrants, language is a barrier. Now, if you're talking about the Hispanic or the Latino community, that's not a problem, and that the census forms will be available in Spanish. I think the biggest barrier really is not knowing what it is and being fearful of the privacy. Same thing with any other group, probably the hard to count group as well. But what I found, in particular with the Latino community, while I was working with You Can Count on Me, is that while those are issues, the Latino community is eager to participate as well. They understand. They're asking good questions. They're seeing the need at the end of the day. We just need to continue doing that through nonprofit groups and people that they trust and listen to.
Mario, of course, you mentioned there's many immigrant groups. How do you possibly keep up with the language barriers?
Well, one way is we have the language guides. We're going to have language guides in 36 different languages.
What are those? They can see it in another language?
We actually have the questionnaire in Spanish and English. But if there's language guides where it can help them, if they need to understand the question, it'll help them get through the questionnaire. So we have language guides in 36 different languages.
Is there a misunderstanding among a lot of immigrants that they shouldn't fill out the census because they're not citizens? Is that a problem, or do they usually get that they just need to be counted? Mario?
Well, I know in the past when we had censuses, there were people who felt like, well, if I'm not a citizen, I shouldn't fill this out. There are some who feel like if I'm not here legally, will this get me in trouble and will I get deported? So this was one of the reasons why some people did not fill out their census form. And a matter of fact, I know that even speaking with depending on who you speak with in government, and this was a big question for the last election we have, was, the problem with citizenship. So it was you have a lot of congressionals who have questioned, should we be counting citizens versus non-citizens?
We have an email from Roland. He says, I live in Franklin County in Columbus, and I can tell you there are large undocumented populations here who will go uncounted. What are the consequences of someone in this legal condition going uncounted, and what are the benefits of their responding to the census? Anybody? Catherine?
Well, I think the easiest way to think about it is imagine all of the kids that need to go to school. And imagine that we don't know that they actually exist. How do we plan for schools? How do we plan for roads? Obviously we need the federal dollars to come to us to provide that kind of system. But you think about what would it actually be like if we didn't actually have any idea how many people actually lived in the state of Ohio? How would you actually plan for government? How would businesses actually plan? So there's a real benefit to citizens actually participating.
Ruben?
I would say the same thing. I think that people are starting to understand this. And I would like to know where these groups are, because I would like to actually go and work with them, or work with people that work with them. But I understand that it's there's that fear factor. If they're undocumented, I think he said they're undocumented, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And so we need to really talk to people and let them know the benefits of, because it's really benefiting everyone. Like I said before, I'm constantly being asked how many Latinos, how many Hispanics or immigrants are in this area. And we need to have a more accurate count, not only for redistricting, but also funding allocation and that sort of thing.
Mario, did you say that we've already talked about community groups and that sort of thing helping out, but what about employers?
Well, we're trying to be one of the largest employers right now in the economy.
You probably are.
We basically partner with different organizations. When we've been doing this probably since the past year and a half, just to get the word out and making sure that they know that we need people to go out and conduct the census, and we need them to get the word out to the people that work for them, the people that they come in contact with, the importance of the census, because it's important to their business. How does a business function without knowing, basically about the community that it's serving?
Catherine?
Well, I wanted to invite people to a kickoff party, You Can Count on Me Ohio kickoff party, which is January 13th from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. It's at the Broad Street United Methodist Church, which is 501 East Broad Street. And also the thing to know about there is you can actually go there. There are going to be 5 census representatives who will be taking applications, talking to people, giving them ideas about
applications for
jobs.
For
census jobs. So it'll be a party, and then one of the side rooms will have an area where people can actually apply for a job. And especially in this economy, it's good to know these census jobs are available.
Yeah, 24,000 jobs in Ohio. Mario, what do they do? Are they all just census quote-unquote takers, or are there other things that they do?
Well, we have various jobs, and we're constantly testing right now. We have jobs for people as recruiting assistants, because we're actually sending a lot of folks out to kind of recruit people in for us. The majority of our jobs will be census takers. And they'll be hitting the ground in early spring, and these jobs pay anywhere from $11 to $17 an hour. And if I, I'd like to just say, people can call 1-866-861-2010, and that'll direct them to the local census office within their area. We have 18 offices open in the state of Ohio. As a matter of fact, we have an open house in our Springfield office down in Clark County today, and a road tour vehicle that's crisscrossing across the state, actually just promoting the census and trying to promote awareness about the census.
Why do you start promoting the awareness so far in advance? Because we really don't get the forms until March, right?
Yes.
Or April.
Well, you get the forms will be mailed out the week of March the 14th.
Okay.
Now, there are some addresses that are very rural, like in southern Ohio, we have a lot of P.O. boxes and rural routes. And definitely West Virginia and Northern Michigan will actually be delivering that form at the end of will hand deliver forms to those addresses at the end of February. But we want to start off a kickoff campaign. We want people to know about the census. Actually, our ad campaign starts in a couple of weeks. And from what they're telling me in Washington, you'll see a census ad just as much as you'll see a McDonald's ad in the news on television or radio.
Okay, Ruben?
Yeah, I was just going to add that while we've been talking about the need to count people, the community activist of me is saying with that is the need for people to feel wanted, to feel counted, to feel to belong. And I think that that's part of the issue that we're struggling with, I think, in our community is telling people to be counted, but at the same time, people feeling that they don't count. And that's a bigger issue that, like I said, that's a community activist that I'm working on. And how do the two converge in order to create an accurate count of this community that's growing fast in this area?
And it's really important for people to know that their civic responsibility isn't just for Election Day, that it's also to participate in the census and to, as much as possible, participate in government in whatever ways work best for them. You know, many hands make light work. And Ruben's right. It's kind of this opportunity for people to say, oh, there are other things that I can do, other ways like I can be invested in this process.
Now, let's talk about the security issue, because that scares a lot of people and a lot of anti-government people. That's one of their complaints is, how do I know you're not using this to keep track of us and that kind of a thing? There are severe penalties for misusing the data from the census. Mario, can you talk about that issue?
Sure. All Census Bureau employees are sworn in under Title 13. If they disclose any information that they receive, it's a 5-year jail time or $250,000 fine. And they're bound by this for life. Census information, once it's tabulated, is just used for statistical purposes. And none of the names or personally identifiable information is released for 72-year period. So anything that you would want to get would be just numbers, statistics. There's no other information that is actually shared. So we're basically just given population counts and statistics about certain areas. So anyone who would disclose any of that information would have severe penalties.
It seems a little bit the government might be at cross purposes in a way, and I'll just be a devil's advocate here and say, well, why wouldn't the government use the information to track down undocumented residents?
Well, that was one of the reasons why the Census Bureau strictly holds to this Title 13, the Title 13 code, because if we were to do that, it would really compromise the job that we need to do. We're not a law enforcement agency, and I know you had mentioned early on about that you never heard anyone being in prison for not filling out their census form. I've never heard of it. It's because we want people to participate. We're not trying to scare people away, and it's a benefit for their community that they live in.
Ruben.
While I've been telling people that there's obviously a tie-in to immigration reform, comprehensive immigration reform, and while the two issues may be separate issues, is what I've been telling people, they are actually related, and that goes to what I was saying is we want people to feel counted, like they count as well as be counted, and. Many times people don't feel as though they count, and there's lots of things that are happening in the state of Ohio that has kind of proved that again. Even if it comes from a selected group of legislators or people, organizations, people don't feel like, in general, don't feel like they count, and so they're asking then, why should I be counted? And that might lead to the fear and also to the fear of getting information. And I understand it, and I've told people that. Yes, there's penalties, and that will not happen. But more than the legal part of it, there's really a kind of a relationship and a feeling of not really feeling like they count. That's an issue that I'm working with.
If you're just joining us, this is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU. We're talking about the 2010 or 2010, which is another issue, how to say it, U.S. Census. Joining me in the studio, Ruben Castilla Herrera. He's a community development specialist in Latino community. And also Catherine Turser. She's co-chair of You Can Count on Me, Ohio. And then in Detroit or from Detroit on the phone, Mario Matthews. He's the assistant regional census manager. Based in Detroit. This is All Sides. You can call us at 614-292-8513 if you have a question or comment. We're talking about the census today, not redistricting specifically, even though that's a very important reason for the census. In fact, that's why it was created in the first place. You Can Count on Me, Ohio is divvying up grant money to community groups to raise awareness of the 2010 census. Do I have that right?
Well, the best way I would look at it is that fortunately the Columbus Foundation is awarding small grants to some nonprofits to do some of this work. You know, if you can imagine all the nonprofits and all of the work that they have to do in this kind of economy and the kind of problems that we're facing, you can add one more thing. And sometimes, you know, a couple hundred bucks, $1,000 can make a huge difference. So a big thank you to the Columbus Foundation for doing that. Up in Cleveland, the Cleveland Foundation and the Gunn Foundation are doing the same kind of thing. So we're fortunate that way. In fact, we have been fortunate to have good funding to get the message out. And that's how seriously foundations in the nonprofit world are really taking this. And, you know, I wanted to go back a little bit. I always think, you know, it's kind of hilarious. Census Day is like April 1st. It's like April Fool's Day.
Sure, it's by accident, right, Mario?
It's like the
coincidence.
The government has a sense of humor or something. But I do think we need to really let people know, you know, if you get your form in by April 1st, 2010, the census workers aren't going to be knocking on your door. And so there is that sense of if you are concerned, you know, you have privacy issues, or if you just, you know, don't want to be having somebody knock on your door at dinner time, if, you know, fill that form out. I think as we think about the privacy issues, that Title 13, of course, protects you. But there's also that, you know, just, you know, get your business done before April 1st.
And that eliminate any other intrusions.
That's correct.
That's correct.
You know, Mario, one thing, you know, that I can't remember exactly what state it was in, but there was the situation where the fellow committed suicide and made it look as if he was murdered because he was a census worker. That playing on a fear that is out there that it can be a dangerous job.
Yes, that has hampered a lot of our hampered some of our hiring activity, where we've had people actually to turn down jobs because of that fear. But in my years, in my 12 going on 13 years, that was the first event like that we've experienced here. And it was very sobering, a sobering event, and a tragedy. Mm-hmm. But most of we have staff that normal survey staff that we have within this region, about 400 to 500 people that work every week, every day, and we don't have have very rare incidents. And even the last census 2000, we have very rare incidences where people are approached by people on their property. So that was just a rare moment in time, and we hope that, you know, nothing like that ever happens again.
What sort of training do people get?
Basically, we give them just field training and on the survey, on the field operations that they were doing. The main thing that I try to tell folks who are going out is to they always should put their safety first. We talk about some of the things that they can encounter while they're out there. And a lot of times the things that we're talking about are dogs. We talked about dogs or people who just don't want them trespassing on their property. And we tell them to put their safety first. If there is some fear in going into certain areas, we try to have groups to go out and do enumeration or basically census taking. They work in groups. And we try to just make sure we know where our staff is at all times to make sure that they're safe, make sure that they get back to where our meeting spots to make sure we get everyone safely back home.
Ruben?
Yes. We as human beings, we need each other. And this is, I'm looking at it as very relationship based, and we've been looking at people that already know people. So when you hear the message from someone that you trust, and when you start building those relationships, then that's how it becomes a human issue, and that's how people will listen to you. The census people are great people. I know it's a bureaucracy, but every census person that I've worked with are just good people that are doing more than just their jobs. They're actually concerned about counting people. And so how do we use the media? How do we use people that people listen to in all communities, in all languages, and make it a human issue? This is really – the bottom line is just counting our humanity. I mean, how can you argue with that? That's the bottom line. Everything else is
– It's biblical.
Well, there you go. And it's more than biblical.
No room in the inn.
Exactly. And so if you start there actually with every issue, then you can go on and talk about those other issues that might matter or may not be understood, redistricting, money, that funding, transportation, everything that we really depend on can go from there. And so knowing who the people you are talk to, speaking the way they speak, going to their communities, and having that proper training. And that's why we start early. Mm-hmm. And that's why it never really stops. The census is always should always be happening, and it actually is.
Okay, we're going to take another short break. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
This is Capital City Radio.
I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World.
And this is Capital City Radio.
If you want me to stay, I'll be around today to be available for you.
Capital City Radio is the center of music and news. The new service from WOSU. Online at capitalcityradio.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News. Catch ArtZine, Columbus's monthly art show, anytime online at wosu.org/artzine. On this month's show, go behind the scenes with Ballet Met's The Nutcracker and see the art of quilts at the Reif Gallery and much more. ArtZine gives you a firsthand look at the arts in action in Columbus. Online at wosu.org/artzine.
Support for WOSU comes from Integrate, helping to improve business performance through brand design and marketing communications for more than 20 years. On the web at integrateinc.com or at 614-421-0004.
In just about 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, hour two of All Sides will be here, and we'll hear about the protest movement in Iran and the perspectives of Iranians living here in Central Ohio. That discussion begins at 11. A winter weather advisory in effect until 6 o'clock Friday morning, and a snow accumulation of 2 to 4 inches this afternoon, and then a total snow accumulation tonight of 3 to 6 inches. All Sides continues.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about the 2010 census. It will start in March. They're doing the kickoffs next week, including next Monday, a kickoff at the State House. Catherine, what's going to happen there?
Well, that should be a fun party. I think
the census is fun. That's the message.
The one thing I was going to say is that the truck that the census is sending around will actually be at the State House between 10 and 2. The State House, of course, is right where Broad and High intersect, and I would encourage people to come on down. It'll be a little bit chilly, of course, but you can duck into the State House, check out a little bit of Ohio's history, and then come on back and get some census information. And they always have some goodies. They have bags and, you know, all of the swag that you might actually enjoy. And so I would encourage people actually to go that. That's on Monday between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m.
What else? Tell us about what's going to happen at the party. Is it going to be sort of the same thing on the 13th?
Yeah, this will be really fun. On the 13th, we've been doing these videos about the census. We did one, Take 10 for the Census, which are just community people saying, you know, it takes 10 minutes, 10 questions every 10 years, which we'll be showing. And we're actually going to be doing a premiere event of a Latino video, which is partially in Spanish and partially in English. And we thought we would do it like a premiere, and so there'll be activities for kids. So if you have kids, please come on down. We'll have coloring contests, and we're encouraging people to do video contests. And then once again, employment opportunities if people are interested in being census workers.
Okay.
And some food.
And food. Food's always good.
Food's always good.
I think that's always a good thing. It's always a big draw for me. So on WOSU.org, on the All Sides page, we'll have links to all of those things. And Mario, can we get a link to the questionnaire itself?
Now, there's a sample questionnaire. Yeah. You can go to our sample. It's a www.census.gov. At that site, it will take you through, and you can get all facts and information about the census and the census questionnaire.
Maybe do a little pretest, and then we'll have the dates and the information about the kickoffs, the one at the State House, and also the one with You Can Count on Me, Ohio. Now, Catherine, give us a little bit of the landscape of the different kinds of groups, the different kinds of people and organizations that are part of this effort in Ohio?
Yeah, I think that we are really fortunate here in Ohio that we have some good partners. For example, I stopped by the Kroger and they've blown up balloons for me. And this is really cool. Walmart is actually putting census information, you know, fill out your census and you know, a link to the, information about, what is 2010census.gov at the bottom of their receipts. So when Ruben was talking about kind of trusted messengers, it's good to have it from a whole bunch of different points of view. Also, the earned income tax credit people, the people that help do the taxes, are also going to be providing information. If you think, you know, April 15th and April 1st, they're really close. So it makes sense to get that information out that way. And also the U-Haul people. I was going to say that's
– Of all people.
Well, you know what? If you think about it, you know, you're supposed to actually fill out your form based on where you live on April 1st, 2010, mm-hmm. right? Well, what if you're moving and all of a sudden you're like, oh, where do I live? Well, it's good to get that information into the hands of people who provide transportation services just to remind people, hey, fill out your census.
In the Latino community, some of the businesses the grocery stores actually are community centers. That's where lots of information is disseminated mm-hmm. and people gather and also grocery shop could buy the things that we need to eat. But they'll be doing some events at some of the grocery stores, like Michoacan, I believe, two of the grocery stores, the biggest ones in the city. A few weeks ago, about a month ago, there's a group of social service directors throughout the state of Hispanic social service at the Ohio Commission on Hispanic Latino Affairs gathered. That each kind of did their own game plan on going back and how to get the word out and how to talk to their constituencies. And so there's businesses, there's community people, and of course the events. I'll be at that event as well, so looking forward to it.
Now, that's a Latino community. There are other ethnic kinds of, you know, grocery stores and different kinds of organizations like that. Are they doing the same sort of thing?
Yeah, it is interesting. We did an event with the League of Women Voters at a Somali mall is the best way I can think about it. And it was a wonderful event. It was partially in English, partially in Somali. Musa Farah, who's with the census here. Hello, Musa Farah.
I think we tried to get Musa Farah on
the
show.
Yes, I was going to say that, you know, so that there's good Somali kind of outreach going on as well. I'd also like to add college students sometimes get really confused.
Oh, that's right.
They get confused about, you know, since we're WOSU, they get really confused about, well, am I counted with my mom or my dad or am I counted in the house that I'm staying in right now? And I wouldn't – it's where you are staying on April 1st, 2010.
Correct.
So, you know, this is not up to your mom. It's not up to your dad. It's up to you.
We were talking about earlier about the shortfall, the 11% uncounted in Ohio. Is that pretty much the number across the country, Mario?
We're talking about the response rate that we have.
Yes, the percentage, yeah.
Yes, that is normal across the country. We're looking at somewhere between a 60 to 65% response rate from the across the country.
I see. Okay. So as far as the ones that are not responding, mm-hmm. where do they tend to come from? What groups are so underrepresented?
Well, what we look at is, and it's what we've kind of talked about already, is the ones who have language barriers, places where we need to do like education about the census, why it's important to them, why these, you know, how these community services are, this $400 billion comes into their community. So a lot of the urban centers that we look at are places where we have to go out and do a lot of partnerships to make sure we get the word out. A lot of places where we have migrant populations, we had to let people, you know, let them know why it's important for them to be counted. Those are the areas where we look at where we have to do a lot of partnering and making sure that we get the word out.
Ruben?
And I think some of the other groups are single parents, single women in particular, the elderly, and also just people that are in transitional spaces in their lives. And I've made this confession before, never on the radio, but I wasn't counted in the last census. And I just happened to have been going through a transitional time in my life that I just didn't respond. Now, I say that only to point out that they're the need. And even though you may be going through a transitional time, I was going through a divorce at the time, and I just didn't fill it out. And so
Did they hound you for months afterward? Or
no, they didn't actually, and I just don't remember actually. But those persons are part of that 65%, and how can we reach those? And those people in Trenton should come in all kinds of groups. It's only not only immigrants or people of color that are hard to count.
It's just a lot of times busy people and things just get
busy
lost
people.
In the shuffle.
And so the more we get the word out is going to be helpful in this process.
It's also important to be as accurate as possible when you fill the form out. You know, there are lots of people right now that I call it couch surfing. Basically, people are staying with relatives due to foreclosure or loss of income. And you don't think about them as living in your house, but they are staying there. And so it isn't just, hey, these are the people that live here. It's the people that are staying with you on April 1st, 2010.
We find that's going to be one of our biggest challenges now because of the foreclosure rate.
I was going to ask about that, yeah.
Yeah, where we have households moving in with different households, and they don't feel like, well, I'm not really a part of this household. Well, if you're there as of April 1st, we need you to be counted and be a part of that address that is just being counted there. So that is going to be one of our biggest challenges this time around.
Besides the 10-question survey this time versus the longer one, are there any other big changes, Mario? For instance, having you count on me, Ohio, throwing a party, are these parties new or have they always been doing these and have we just been missing the boat?
Well, even in 2000, we had a large partnership staff and they went out and we felt that this was part of the turnaround in the response rate. So we've had a larger we've had an increase in our partnership staff and the number of people who are going out making these contacts. And we hope that this will even increase the response rate this time where, you know, we're going out, we're doing these different events. It was mentioned about the road tour vehicle crisscrossing across the state. We're hoping this awareness, these partnerships that we're making with like the state complete count committees and the nonprofit CCCs, all this will equate to a larger response rate and more people participating.
And I also believe that there's been a little bit more creativity in this process. And, for example, the many Latinos listen to the Latino media, television, radio. Mm-hmm. And I believe that one of the census issue was integrated in one of Latino soap operas, which was a great audience. And just the whole idea of counted, why it's important. And they wrote that into the script. So using that creativity is always going to help where people are listening, where people will pay attention.
What about the schools?
We do have a census in schools program, and we know, like, for instance, I guess Franklin County, my understanding, has one of the largest school districts there in Ohio, and that we're getting information out within the next week or two, making sure that kids know about it. If it's in their math class or their civics class, that they know about census and the importance of census. We also even hope to get some job information, you know, because they're definitely going to take, especially K through 8, they'll take this information back home and they'll share it with their families. And that's one way we know that we'll get information to these households.
One area that I haven't really mentioned about is, and which is very, very important, is the Black community. Mm-hmm. And when you mention the schools, we know that a large percentage of the Columbus schools is from the Black community. And I know that the NAACP that I presented to them, and I know that they have a program going on specifically targeting the Black community. And there's some groups in the kind of the King Lincoln district. Young people, I'm very impressed with young people going, knocking on doors, talking about the importance of the census, and also integrating kind of some empowerment issue for young Black youth. But that's a very important process in this as well.
How much of a problem is the anti-government distrust factor, Mario, really?
Well, you do have a lot of folks who feel that they don't need to be counted and the government has no business knowing their business. It is I think you find that only in certain pockets throughout this region. Mm-hmm. Most people are participating. Like I said, we only have probably about during the last census, about 33% not responding. Mm-hmm. So I think a large majority are filling out their forms. It's just those ones that we have to go out and do an education to. I mean, give some knowledge to of why it's important for them. Even those who are anti-government, sometimes they will fill out their census form because they realize the importance of it there in their community where they live.
I am reminded that I did do some focus groups for You Can Count on Me early on in different parts of the state, and we saw that differently in different places. Cleveland compared to Columbus compared to Cincinnati, the whole anti-government and really had a lot to do with what was happening at that time and in that particular location, Cleveland or Columbus or Cincinnati or anywhere for that matter, and also kind of the group thing. Once that process started, then they started building upon each other, so it made it a little bit more difficult for us to actually. We were just wanted to know what they were thinking actually, but it gave us a good picture of what was in those particular areas. But it goes back to what I always do say, this is a relationship and giving the correct information and helping them with that process.
You know, I was wondering, tens of thousands of Ohioans have been forced to park their cars recently for lack of proof of U.S. citizenship. Could this affect the count this year?
Absolutely.
How would that translate?
Well, it goes back to the idea that I said, if you want us to be counted, make us feel that we count in this state. The governor has said that he wants everyone counted, including immigrants. But that issue, there are actually people that are leaving the state, and that I'm aware of. I know that people are leaving the state; they're not feeling safe here, and so that presents an issue with us. How do you, like I said, how do you converge the two? The importance of being counted versus the importance of being feeling like you count in this state. That's something that we as a community are looking at and how we can move forward on that, because there's generations. It's just not about this generation. There's other census to come. There's generations of people that are born here and many more that are going to be born here. And if immigrant community, particularly Hispanic communities, are the fastest growing in this area, what does that mean to losing two representatives versus four. So those are all good questions that I think that need to be examined. But still, we need to be counted.
Catherine?
You know, I was going to say, there's simple things that any of us can do to encourage people to do the census. So sometimes you listen to this kind of program, you think, oh, well, okay, so I'll get my form in. But the other thing you could consider doing is doing a tagline at the end of your email, just encouraging your friends and family. You know, mine says, you know, don't be a fool, because of April Fool's Day. Don't be a fool. Mail in your census form by April 1st, 2010. And, you know, there are all sorts of different, you know, talking to friends and family members about the importance of the census. And if you hear, oh, what they're going to use our information for, you know, all sorts of weird purposes, you know, set them straight about what it's actually used for, Title 13, you know, all of the privacy kind of things. So this is your information is used to get funding for the state of Ohio and to get funding for your schools and to get funding for school lunches and all sorts of very, very important things.
Mario, any parting comments or thoughts?
Just the last thing I just want to mention is that remember that the census form will be coming in the mail in March, actually around mid-March, and please just fill it out and send it back. We do have jobs available. We are testing, and if people could call 866-861-2010, it'll direct them to their local census office. We do have jobs available.
Okay, and we'll post the census.gov on the website. We'll also post that number, 866-861-2010. And Ruben, any parting comments or thoughts?
Well, thank you for allowing us an opportunity to be here. If there's anyone in the Latino community or that person who sent an email, I'd be happy to respond to. They can maybe contact the website. Do you want me to leave a phone number or what would be best?
Leave a phone number.
Phone number is 614-571-1750. Be happy to help you out with that process.
All righty. My thanks to Mario Matthews, Assistant Regional Census Manager in Detroit for the U.S. Census. Ruben Castilla Herrera, thanks so much for being with us today. And also Catherine Terser, co-chair of the You Can Count on Me Ohio. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.